Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Vitron's Logistics Podcast. My name is Robert Weber, and today I invited two guests. And my first guest is Karel de Jong from Jumbo. Karel, welcome.
Hi, good morning, Robert.
And my second guest is Johannes Meister from Vitron. Johannes, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, Robert. Thank you.
The main topic is today, how is a new warehousing changing the supply chain? But before we start, Karel, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners.
Yeah, in very short, Karel de Jong is my name, native Dutch, working with Jumbo for just over 25 years now. And within our Jumbo team, I'm in the board of directors responsible for supply chain.
And what does Jumbo do?
Jumbo is a Dutch and Belgian-based supermarket chain. We are running just over 725 stores, the majority in the Netherlands, 35 in Belgium. And we are also very alive on the internet, the e-commerce, with jumbo.com with home deliveries.
Johannes, please introduce yourself briefly.
My name is Johannes Meissner, CEO of Vitron, together with my colleague Helmut Prieschenk. I'm mainly focusing on the project execution and the technology stack of Vitron.
Perfect. Karel, you have built one of the most, I would say, modern automated fresh food logistics centers in Nieuwegein. And we will talk about that today. And it always starts with a why. What was your pain?
Well, should go back in history then. In 2017, I think it was, we envisaged our supply chain for the future and saw some hurdles to overcome. Mainly to do with the labor market challenges.
So labor shortage, yeah?
Yeah, to be seen in future. The differentiation strategy of our company, a lot more SKUs, which we would learn products, which we would like to sell in our stores, and a change of our fresh distribution chain in ultra fresh, very close to our stores, and the normal fresh products, think about milk or other dairy products, in a centralized situation.
Why was it so important to handle it in a centralized warehouse now?
By centralization, we made room in our four regional distribution centers within the Netherlands for growing the assortment, and also built the ability to have a very short, very agile supply chain for ultra-fresh products. By freeing up that capacity, we needed to find a central solution, whereby we also then talked with one and said, well, if we are going to do it centralized up to really big amounts of volume, then mechanization, automation should be part of it to do it still in a very focused and direct way to the stores.
How do you define agile in your supply chain? What does it mean?
Agile means for us being able to have a direct change. For instance, if temperature drops or if we have, like last summer, a very good summer period, then the sales of fresh produce, fruit and vegetables, is scaling up very rapidly. And in that distribution centers, we need to be able to adapt ourselves to have more volume of certain products and also then have more capacity for these products. The other way of, for us, explanation of agility is that we try to do our activities in the shortest time possible. So a very much focused on cross-docking, on direct delivery, on everything, on rolling devices. So to not lose any time in fresh products, because fresh need to be fresh at the customer's table rather than losing a lot of time in the supply chain stream upwards.
Johannes, when you look back in the past, from my point of view, the motto was always we pack everything into the warehouse. And today the warehouse helps to control, to handle the supply chain. What has changed and why?
I think the main change over the last years, what we have seen is that we have to integrate, especially also into the systems of our customers very deeply. Therefore, this DC is not a separate environment anymore. It's basically integrated in the organism of our customers, especially as Karel mentioned, you know, time is really crucial in such a supply chain, which means that from the customer supply chain, all the systems, including the DC, have to be very close integrated into this organization from the customer.
But this is a new role for the warehouse, right?
Absolutely. because that is a new role, a new responsibility also, which such a DC runs. But that is the base basically for an optimization of a supply chain. The customer, as Carl explained at the end, the most important topic is that fresh is fresh in the store or on the table of the end consumer here.
Can you please tell me, Carol, is the new warehouse the conductor of the supply chain now? And was that your goal at the end?
That's a very good question, Robert. If I look at an orchestra, the conductor is in front of the orchestra. I would say that our Nieuwegein facility is sort of playing the first violin, being the most important part, but not the conductor. The conductor is, in the end, still the end consumer who is asking for products in our stores. And we try to envisage the end consumer by looking at our stores and owners and managers. The Nieuwegein facility there plays, as I said, the role of the first violin, meaning that within the orchestra, that player is a sort of setting the rhythm and now and then setting some pace as well. And that's how I would like to see the Nieuwegein facility. And adding to what Johannes earlier said, also very much seeing it as a extended part of the store operation. So the integration of the Nieuwegein facility, the store backroom and the shelves, that is, I mean, in fresh, we are talking about now, I would say 1.5 to 2 days storage in the store and 3 days of storage in the central distribution center, which means that in overall, every half of the week, that Nieuwegein center is fully empty and filled up again, if you know what I mean. And by working very close with the stores and adapting volumes, especially in high peak seasons, front loading where possible, we can play with the speed, with the rhythm of our supply chain.
You mentioned the first violin, but the first violin can sometimes be also a diva. Yeah, how do you manage that? Is there a jealousy in the supply chain sometimes?
I'm laughing a little bit.
Why?
I get a smile because if we look at our people who are working within our Nieuwegein distribution center, the people who are not working there, who are still working in our manual operations, they are sometimes, well, I wouldn't say jealous, but when they are visiting to Nieuwegein, everybody says, oh, and ah, and wow, meaning what we are running there, Vitron Jumbo together in the facility, is a sort of outstanding logistics, I would say. And we are learning every day how to run the overall facility. We've had a really steep ramp up, something which, well, we hadn't seen it before, but we did it together. And also that gives then some of the, well, it gives us very positive energy. People who are not working there are applying for jobs. Can I start working within Nieuwegein?
Do you like the picture of a first violin, Johannes?
What you mean with
Carlos, that the warehouse place is not the conductor of the supply chain, so it's more the first violin in the supply chain.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because it, as I say, it's really the integration there. It's for sure a main portion of the supply chain, but the full result or the full optimization you always only see if you look throughout all the segments of the supply chain. It's really the orchestration of all these different elements which brings up basically the best result at the end for the end customer.
Can you give us an overview of what you have done in terms of technology? I think it's one of the largest COM warehouses. Can you give us a brief update?
Yes, as Carol mentioned, I think the whole journey began basically 2017. We started then construction on the ambient side 2019 for the warehouse. Then in different phases, we built basically the first takeover of ambient was in 2020, phase 3 and 4. Therefore, we very quickly extended the side on the ambient side was in 2022. The fresh DC ramped up in 2024. Overall, I think it was throughout this year's a real heavy construction going on. And even during difficult times like COVID, we have building delays and such things. Also together with Jumbo, we were able basically to overcome all these things and get basically all these different phases successfully into production. From a system point of view, I think their approach from Jumbo was very early on also that we use basically in these sites proven technology. Therefore, we see on both sides, ambient and fresh, basically a combination of the order picking machinery all in one CPS, because as it is a back CDC, a backbone for supply chain availability, performance was key also for Jumbo, and therefore proven technology was key here. Overall, we installed then in both sides more than 60 comms. We installed, that's absolutely huge in this environment. There are more than 1.1 million storage locations in there in both sides, pallet, trays, totes, and at the end it's also we run this performance basically with more than 200 grains in this side. Therefore, it's a real huge installation, and just looking on the volume, design-wise, a SysDC can handle about 1.6 million picks a day, which is really worldwide also on our systems, very powerful environment.
When does you reach a limit when it comes to COM machines in the warehouse?
For sure, I think it's less, I think there's a decision about the COM machines in the warehouse. We always have to see if we look on a DC, also how the environment looks like, because based on this volume, you can imagine 1.6 million picks a day. Such a DC needs a very good network also for incoming goods, outcoming goods. It's more the question about, you know, how can you handle this volume also on the environment of such a DC.
Carol, you want to add something?
Yeah, to add on Johannes, also it's really, and that's what we learned over the last years, as we are working, we are talking about the OPM, but we do the order picking machine. We also have DPS system, the CPS. We have Warenausgangsprüfer, I think it's in.
Oh, that's a nice German word, right?
It's in German, I think. And it's really about balancing all over the subsystem. We can, in theory, we could put maybe even more comms, but overall, everything ends on to, in Holland, we are working with roller cages, so not with pallets. Everything ends on a roll container, and that's a combination of the different subsystems. So rather than focusing on how many more comms could we have, what the real challenge and also the real cracking the nut for us in the production environment is, how are we able to balance overall subsystems to the max? And then it's not really about putting an extra COM in or DPS. No, it's managing the balance.
Okay. Carol, I want to come back. What were the biggest gains for you from a, let's say, customer perspective, shop perspective, logistics, supply chain perspective, and supplier perspective?
Oh, that's four questions in one.
Yeah.
You're making it me difficult. I try to answer it. And if I'm missing one of the focus points, you will add.
Start with the shops.
Well, starting with the shops, by implementing our centralized warehousing model, or actually we call it the factory model, because it's far more than a general warehouse, I would say. We are able to deliver on ambient far more SKUs than we were. And
20%, 50%?
We grew in ambient from, in our manual warehouse, some 8,000 SKUs to, at this moment, over 12,000, 12,500 in our mechanized.
Wow.
And more specific, and that's also for fresh, what we were able to do is that we are making a direct connection with the planograms, so the shelf structure in the store, with our picking machinery, especially on the OPM, which means that every roll container who's coming into the store in general is dedicated to one aisle, to one shelf section. And the store itself can decide which product groups he or she would see on a roll container in order to have a direct filling of the shelves after the goods are delivered to the store, which then in the end makes that the availability for the products for our customers is increasing. Less sorting, less activities directly to the shelves. In addition to that, also what has changed for the stores is that we were able, as we found room for growth in our regional DCs, that we were able to insource certain streams which were directly delivered to the stores from our suppliers, or which were delivered on separate roll cages, as we have been insourcing these. And for instance, fresh fish is one of the product streams which are now going directly via our Jumbo distribution centers rather than a direct delivery via from the supplier. That also makes it more easy, more efficient for our stores. And by adding our automatic replenishment, forecasting and replenishment system, stores are not ordering themselves. We are replenishing from our central supply chain offices. We are able, by using the technique also of Witron, to sort of do peak shaving to make sure that we are delivering exactly the right volume which is needed, but also already deliver which can be filled in the shelves. And it's the machinery of Witron in Nieuwegein who makes that possible for us.
Okay, let's talk about the customer.
Well, the customer is finding a fresher product because we are able to cut out half till a full day of freshness in our distribution centers and give it directly into a fresher product, because the overall lead time, internal lead time, has decreased by using the system. And that's more on ambient than on fresh at this moment. We were able to differentiate in assortment. It's no longer for Jumbo one size fits all. No, if we are in Amsterdam city center, we are really selling different products than we are selling in the northern part of Groningen or in Zeeland near the North Sea, where we are also seeing a lot of German holiday people, of course, there. So that's different.
They all like the Warenausgangspuffer.
Right. So we were able to differentiate in assortment, have more assortment available, but also play a better role to the customer, to the consumer, who will find the right product in the right place.
Let's talk about the suppliers.
Suppliers is a topic which I would say needs extra attention when you start working in an automated warehouse, because packaging is
crucial.
Packaging is crucial in that respect that within the Witron system, we have built some redundant solutions by placing every pallet together with Witron. Jumbo decided to use full slave pallets, both in fresh and dry, which means that we are not really depending on the quality of the pallet of the supplier. And in boxes, as you know, the order picking machinery, all boxes are put on trays, and even crates in fresh, we are putting them on a tray to have less dependency on the quality of the product. But still, for instance, depalletizing, the product quality is very important. And we learned in the 2019-2020 go-live situation for ambient, we learned that we should put more emphasis up front before going live in discussion with the suppliers about what is the glue power which they are using to fix boxes on top of each other. What is the shrinkage or the wrapping foil?
But that sounds like micromanagement, right?
It is. You need to look, and Witron already very early came into our manual DCs to look at each individual product and to tell us this is maybe which is not going right, and let's start discussion with our suppliers. I've never envisaged when I started 30 plus years working in logistics that I should have packaging experts in my team. We now have in Nieuwegein. We have really good people who are discussing together with suppliers what can be changed in order to get the products the first time right into the system.
Johannes wants to add something on the supplier topic.
Yeah, I just wanted also to mention that especially in this industry, as we started off basically with OPM, with automatic handling of this product, I think we introduced also for this market or for this market segment basically things which were in other industries over years already standard. Therefore, looking on quality of the incoming product, I think that started off with our first installation. And as more customers now in this segment are going towards automation, I think it will improve over time, especially this quality of product, this quality of pallet, because there is more and more use here that everybody looks on the quality. It's not just for a project or for a single customer. It's a market trend which we initiated, I think, in this area.
That's great. Carol, coming back to the supply chain, what about your transportation and logistics guys?
Well, looking at our own Jumbo people, they're mainly there. Well, of course, when we centralized our activities for, let's say, almost 50% of our overall volume in Nieuwegein, we also closed down facilities. And that's all always something which is not good news for people who are coming for years and years on their bike to one of our warehouses, which is closing down. So that change component of that was very important for us to follow up. We started in an early phase already discussing with our people what the new warehouse or factory environment would look like. And by doing that, we also had the ability to take our people to Witron facilities in the Netherlands. I mean, with our colleagues of Hoogvliet in that time, and also with HEMA, which has a DPS system, I think, if I'm right. Our people were looking there, okay, this is what my new work to be could look like. A lot of people changed with us from workstation and came from, we closed down in the eastern part of the Netherlands and also in the southern part, and they moved with their job to Nieuwegein. Others found their work within other Jumbo facilities, as we are running in total 30 in online and bricks, 30 different supply chain operations in the Netherlands. So that was work, but people also needed to adapt, needed to change. What we, from the very early beginning, started with is that we said, okay, this is not a warehouse as such. It's what I said to you earlier. It's a factory. And we should start with running Nieuwegein as a factory. So we implemented what we called JPS, Jumbo Production System.
Okay, wow.
We looked very much to a Toyota.
So lean logistics.
Lean logistics and running a warehouse as a factory, planning rather than running. I mean, if we have a very high volume, I would say a week, in a manual warehouse, then in lunch break, we ask all the people in the cafeteria, well, can everybody do an extra hour at the end of the shift? That's not working in a factory, because we are running 22 or 24 hours a day, and the machine has a rhythm, and we should follow that rhythm of the machine. So we should plan upfront, make sure that all our buffers, our tray warehouses, etc., are filled, rather than working in the moment, I would say, and reacting in the moment. And our JPS, which is a philosophy, but also an operational way of working with shifts and stand-ups, with handovers, with people of Witron on our own side and Jumbo running the factory together, planning for preventive maintenance and also for Christmas volumes together, etc. I think that even was the biggest change. To be honest, in the end, the technique which is brought in, the equipment which is brought in, works. I mean, Witron has so many of the comps running in the world. Also in Nieuwegein, it works. It is the way how you interact as people, as management, and as individual with the system which makes it successful or not. And to be honest, the first years we needed to change a lot, but we learned from it. And I'm really very, very proud of what we built together over the last years with our fresh distribution center. I think, and I don't know from others, but we as Jumbo see it as a school example of how a ramp up could work if you start early, plan early, work together, and overcome difficulties. We had bankruptcy of our building company. We had COVID. Being very close together, shoulder to shoulder, I would say, see it as partners and not as two companies, but in the end, really going for the goal. It should work and it will work.
Johannes, JPS, can you learn from this too? That sounds very interesting.
Absolutely. And it was a very interesting time frame, as we started off, I think, with a full service model here. Therefore, we operated also as automations there. And it was a common learning. And we learned also a lot in operating of the system, efficient operating of the systems here together with this Jumbo, especially with this model also. As Carl said, at the end, it's the machinery there. We know that the machinery works, but it's how you plan as a day for such a machinery with all the systems which are available and how people interact with the machinery, because at the end, it's still also a lot on the key people depending on how the performance of the overall system is.
Karel, can you please give me two more examples, JPS, what that means?
One concrete is that we are not from a management telling what's going good and what can be improved. It's coming from our operators. So within JPS, we created room, also physically rooms and with boards around the production environment, in which we can track the volume, in which we can track the productivity, where we can identify room for improvement. And when we have a stand-up, every shift has one or more stand-ups during the production window. Our people who are running on the machinery, they are sort of telling, okay, this is going good, this should be improved, and I have an ID for that. And that ID is then promoted to from an ID to, in the end, a certain solution, which can be a process, a procedure, but also a technical or software change. So very much interacting with people who know far more than you can know as a manager from your office. That's one example. The other example I would bring forward is the way of managing and interacting with our teams. Our plant manager, Remco and Joost, the one for ambient, one for fresh, they have fixed in their diary every day, half an hour meeting in the JPS production room, which is in the center of the facility, gathering with the process leads of the different areas, gathering also with the Vitron operations manager who's running the technique there. And in the middle of the center, they are discussing, okay, how is it going today and how are we looking to tomorrow? Not in a fancy office or so, no, in the middle of the equipment.
On the shop floor.
On the shop floor, bringing or discussing there very transparent our plans for the coming 24 hours. And what Joost always says to me, our manager of the Fresh, he says that is the most important half hour of the day. If that half hour is good, I have a good day. I mean, it's make it very transparent, very open. Everybody, that's also the philosophy. It's a lean principle, of course, but with involvement of all the employees.
Great. Karel, at the end, what is the next big thing when it comes to supply chains from your point of view?
From our point of view, Jumbo is there to become the most beloved supermarket in the Netherlands and Belgium. And supply chain, I mean, that's our dream. And supply chain plays a crucial role in there. And for us, it's even more on integrating the store shelf capacity and availability with our own network and upstream with the suppliers network. So we envisage that we will no longer talking about individual warehouses. No, we're talking about the network and the system thinking, what we need to build. Mechanization, automation is playing going forward a crucial role in there. Not only, to be honest, for our bricks activities, but also for online, which is still a 100% manual operation, which we are running now in the Netherlands. So discussing with Vitron is, for us, the next steps will be more integrated supply chain thinking and making sure that automation is not a goal on itself, to be fair. It's a very powerful tool to become more efficient, but in the end also more differentiated, because we very much feel that differentiation is the way to go for us as a formula with supermarkets. But differentiation only can work if we are able to do it also in a cost and, how should I say, operational efficient way.
Johannes, last question for you. What is the next big thing when it comes to supply chains?
I think it goes towards what Karel mentioned already. It's really the overall optimization of supply chain, because over the last two decades, these projects which we built, it was very, you know, automation focused and DC focused, which I see in the meantime more as a kind of the foundation or the enabler to think further overall optimized supply chain, because only if the backbone is right here means backbone of automated and especially also process control disease, that is the enabler that you have the basis where further optimizations and flexible optimizations can be built off.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much for this discussion. Thank you, Karel, and greetings to the Netherlands.
Thank you also, Robert and Johannes. Nice discussion together.
Yeah, and Johannes, thanks a lot, and greetings to Pakstein. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Robert. It was very nice.